Father, we come to you again this day and thank you so much for the Sunday school hour and the mothers that we had here at that time. And now in this hour, the many mothers who came in after the Sunday school hour, we're so grateful for all of these today. Bless this as a special day. And now I pray you'd bless the Word of God as we open it. Holy Spirit of God, touch our hearts where we need to be touched. Direct us, and may people utilize the power that has available to help us in life. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 10. I'd like to read verse 38 through 42. We've been studying on Wednesday night the Gospel of John. Been in chapter 12 for a few weeks now. And, of course, the first eight verses of chapter 12 talks about this family. And studying that for weeks and also teaching it for a couple of weeks. And now this past week, the Lord gives some interesting thoughts. I thought it would be good for Mother's Day, even though this may not be exactly about a mother, because we don't know if Martha was a mother or not. The Bible doesn't tell us. But the instructions that we can get from this family can be a great help to our families in our day. If there's ever been a time that we can relate in our day, every mother and dad here can relate to this story is today. And you should understand when we get into this morning. And before we read, I heard a very interesting little story. It said this elder couple went to McDonald's and they ordered one hamburger and they ordered one order of fries and one drink and asked for a cup to go with it. And they sat down at the table and he had his prayer and he took his knife and cut the hamburger in two. And then he took and counted out and gave half to his wife and half himself. Then he counted out the French fries. One, two. And divided them out. And then he took the drink and cup and poured half the drink in the cup and gave her a cup, him a cup. And there's a young couple sitting next to him was really burdened about it. He said, you know, that couple's so sweet. So they just must not have no money much. I'm going to offer to buy them another hamburger and fries and a drink so then have one apiece. It's just the right thing to do. And he went over and said, sir, he said, I don't intrude. He said, but I noticed that you divided and everything. I'd like to offer to buy another hamburger, another set of French fries, and another drink so you both have one apiece. And he said, oh, no, it's not necessary. You don't understand. Said, we've been married 55 years. It's always been our policy for years to take everything 50-50. And that's what we do. When we go buy everything, we buy 50-50, showing we share our lives together. And he noticed that the wife was sitting over there with her hands in her lap, looking at her husband eat his half of the hamburger. And he said, but I don't understand the fact that you divide it up, but I do understand what you're saying about respect. And, well, your wife must really respect you as her husband for waiting for you to eat her half of the hamburger. And she said, oh, no, it's not that at all. You see, today he has first chance at the teeth. I never thought of that. Barbara, you won't have to buy any teeth in the future. Amen. But here in Martha, in Luke chapter 10, the scripture starts out, now it came to pass as they, notice they, there's more than just Christ here. How many? We don't know, but I know this, where Christ went, the apostles went, so there's 12 apostles and Christ with 13. I know that Mary and Martha is here at this time, so if I count, that's 15. And Lazarus might have been here because we know they had a brother. Though his name is not mentioned at this time, he is mentioned in John 12. We know that they had a brother. And so there, if the brother was there, we're talking about, 12, 13. And we're talking about three more, 16 at least. They always had people traveling with them. So I'm going to assume that probably there's 20 to 30 people involved here in this house at this time. When Martha starts to do what she's going to do. Now it came to pass, as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Now another thing about Martha here is that we don't know where she owns this house or not, or where she's written it. In one place it seemed like Simon, a man called Simon, owned the house that they were in. But I know this, at this time, she was the one in charge. She was either written it herself or she had owned it herself. And the scripture gives us this information. Then it says, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Martha, Martha, always amazing when Jesus uses the word twice in addressing someone. There's a compassionate in his voice. At the same time, there's an interest in getting the attention so the person will know who they're talking to. God has something very important to say to Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. Say that with me. One thing is needful. Say it again. One thing is needful. And all of this that is troubling and Martha is very careful about, Jesus said, hey, it's important. I don't know about you, but when I'm reading and studying the scriptures more so in the last 20 years than in my early years, I'm looking at things that God has said in his word more so to find out how it affects me as I learn about the application at that time. As I learn about what they're doing at that time, what has been said, the culture of that time, the individual of that time. Because what God has written is not just for those people, it's for me. There's something here for me. And so if I look at this, he says again, Martha, Martha, thou art careful about many things, but one thing is needful. Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Mary has chosen that good part. And hear this, Martha. What Mary has chosen, it shall not be taken away from her. Whatever you're doing is going to be taken away one day. But this will not be taken away. And I read that and I think to myself, now if Jesus was here and I was in this situation, understanding what's going on, I would probably want to be doing just what Martha, I can't cook, so I'd had been helping otherwise. I'd been wanting to do something because of this special guest in my home. I want to be the greatest host I could be. I want to be on my best in showing that I am very appreciated that this man, Jesus Christ, and his people that came with him came to my house. And I look at that and I could say by rights, then if it's in my day, it is possible that Jesus would say, Charles, Charles, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But Mary has chosen one thing that's needful. What is that one thing? I want to speak to you this morning on Martha's lesson on this Mother's Day. Some scholars suggest that since we told that Martha opened her home to Jesus, that she had been married and she was a widow. We can't prove that. And her brother and sister now live with her. We do know that as far as in charge of the house, it's her house where she rented, where she bought it. When you talk about Mother's Day, and you talk about special day like Father's Day and Mother's Day and some other day, this may not be a Mother's Day sermon per se, but the lesson, ladies and gentlemen, that we can draw from this story is essential for every mother and dad in here and every individual in here this morning. This is a very important lesson to all as Jesus and the conversation goes between these two. Now, when you talk about having special days like this, most pastors find that preaching on special events are some of the most difficult sermons to preach on, especially when it has to do with dealing with the home. And the reason for that is there are so many different circumstances that can be as you apply principles of the scriptures. You don't like to represent yourself as an expert on issues that can depend on the circumstances. Because every principle that God has will work, but every circumstance has to be approached a little bit different. There's not a person in here that's just alike. So two people who are married will never have. There will never be another home just like that home on earth. Because they're entirely different. When it comes to children, there's no two children in any family in this auditorium, good crowd here this morning, that is exactly alike. So biblical principles that applied has to be applied, but they have to be adjusted at time according to try to help the individual because there's no circumstance alike. There's no child problem that's ever alike. There's no children anyone has is ever alike. So everything that comes about, I'll tell you this, it takes a lot of experience in dealing in life as you take faith and experience together to come out with solutions using biblical principles to get the best solutions in life. So yet, no one likes to present themselves as an expert on issues that can depend on circumstances as you apply the biblical principles. Yet, you do not want to present some basic principle to help someone who might be looking for guidance. And by the way, whether you realize it or not, we're all looking for guidance. We've not arrived yet, like with the Apostle Paul. And so when I look at this story, and weeks have been teaching this story, suddenly God began to reveal some tremendous things about this event that I can see. Said, Lord, I need this. I need this to understand life and understand some things about what God is telling this family. He was not there just wasting time. He didn't say what he said just to fill in the gap. And so I want to give you 3 points on Martha's lesson this morning. First of all, number one is this. Martha did a good thing. She did a good thing. Unfortunately, sometimes Martha comes across here by some as a villain that she really is not interested. But in her heart, let's go back and think a little bit as I try to look at this situation leading up to these 3 points. Number one, she did a good thing. Here, she was doing what probably in her heart was thought best for this one, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Savior. She welcomed Christ into her home. She was busy trying to create an atmosphere for those that were with him. And yet, all the good she was doing, she neglected Jesus while she was cooking. She neglected Jesus while she was doing something that even in this case wasn't bad, wasn't evil, that was even good. Martha knew that it would take a lot of food to feed this group, no doubt, that came with Jesus. Yet she welcomed Jesus and all of those that were in his group into her home to sit down for a feast. She demonstrated the gift of hospitality. She demonstrated a gift that she had for these and all those with him as being that she had a love for them in a different way than maybe many might have had. She sought to honor Jesus Christ. She sought to serve him. Martha was not lazy. She wasn't lazy. When you look at her life, she was not sloppy. She saw a need, and in her own way, she worked hard to meet that need. She knew these people would be hungry, even coming from Jerusalem down to where Bethany was. It was a long way. They had to walk. They walked together. It was a slow process. She knew they'd be hungry. She wanted to be a good host. I see all of this in Martha. Martha was going all out of her way to make their visit pleasant. And they would remember some things while they were there. Martha could not go to the grocery store and order cold cuts and dinner rolls. She could not go to Domino's and get the pizza quickly. She couldn't go to the store and get bread. She had to bake her bread. She didn't have a GE oven or a microwave. She had only a fire built in a man-made oven. And as I said Wednesday night in a little bit of this, that listen, you didn't cook in the kitchens of that day without sweating. We're still using a microwave. We don't know what it is to cook, dude. This was not an easy task for Martha. Are you getting the drift? Are you with me? Folks, this is blessed my heart. I'm seeing something here that smacked me and makes me realize that sometimes I have to reevaluate my life in doing good things. And here, Martha, literally, she had to make the bread and probably kneaded it and annealing it, what do you call it, banging it and getting it ready, sticking it in this hot fireplace. She was working hard. Give her the benefit of the doubt, ladies. It's hard to cook, isn't it? You've got the whole family coming in, 20 people, 30 people, and you expect, and maybe they bring some stuff. I don't care if they do bring some stuff. It's still hard for you to cook. You say, no, it's easy for me. Why don't you do more of it? I heard some men say, amen on that, amen. Now, I'm trying to get you to focus on how the Lord helped me focus on this to get the impact that God wants us to see. She's working hard. And yet, in her hard work, her work distracts her. If you had a celebrity coming to stay in your home, you would try to be the best host possible. I don't care who it was, if they were going to give you the grace to come there. Here was a very demanding situation for her to be a good hostess. She was lazy. She just didn't have her priorities right. And I look at this scene. Martha was trying hard to do a good thing. She was trying hard to give her best. I believe this to the Lord. She knew she was a good cook. Probably better than Mary. So first of all, I look and I see Martha did a good thing. The second thing, though, I want you to look with me as I look at this story. While she's doing the good thing, she misses out on the best. Her time has been occupied. Everyone would have said who's there. Isn't it wonderful she worked so hard to bring us this meal? But only Jesus. He's the master teacher. Isn't it wonderful that she can do this for the Lord? But the Lord realized there's many things that we can do, but is it a priority? So Martha missed the best thing. See, Martha was distracted, being wrapped up in the details of her job as a hostess, that she had no time to enjoy her special guest, thinking that he would be very appreciative of what she's doing. Jesus was dispensing the words of life, but she was wrapped up in keeping the glasses filled and the food flowing for the body. She had no concern about the soul. She didn't understand that. The superficial things were keeping her from the important things, and yet what she was looking at, she thought was the most important thing, and yet when Jesus came along and said, hey, I'll show you what is important if you'll let me. And I can see what happened now. She's distracted. She's busy. And she's looking at a situation in the living room while she's working so hard in the kitchen. And everyone in here can identify with that. You look at yourself in the kitchen working so hard, sweating and trying to keep everything from burning and pots, and you got 5 pots on the pan, 2 microwaves going and, you know, and everything else. And here, you've got your sister or brother or somebody sitting in a room, laid back, easy look like. She looks at her sister, looks at the rest that's sitting around, eyes focus on Jesus, looking like it's just a relaxed time. And Mary is wiping Jesus' feet while she is burning in the kitchen. You know what? God is letting me understand Martha a little bit, why she said what she said. I'm glad He understands. But He always gives what you need anytime. That's the reason this is important this morning. This book has been opened, been read, been proclaimed. As if Jesus is here. He's not, but He is in spirit. This is His word. Ladies and gentlemen, He say no more to you and I than He said to Martha in these situations. And I see something happen. Now she was disturbed. She expresses her frustration to the teacher. Now she surely could have used a hand in the kitchen. Her cooking was burdened. It was great. Maybe she kind of sighed loudly so they'd hear her. Maybe she took a couple pots and pans and slammed down on the table so they'd know she'd hear. Maybe she shut a couple cupboard doors. Pow! So they'd hear that something's going on in the kitchen while they're relaxing in the living room. Her message was not getting through. She became probably grumblesome. Why in the world can't Mary see me in here? What? Can't the Lord see that I'm, what? Can't they appreciate what I'm doing? She began to grumble maybe and feel sorry for herself. Her message though was not getting through. And I believe Martha had enough. And what did she do? I don't know if they had a door in the house or not, but whatever she had, she came through the doorway from the kitchen and the living room. And when she came in, at this time, she storms out of the kitchen and goes a verse into the living room, if I just look at the home, and in verse 40 says, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." Now let me give you Johnson County language for that. What Martha is saying, "Lord, don't you care that my sister hath left me to do this work by myself? Tell her to get in there and help me." That's good translation from King James, which came from the Greek. That's what she said. Can't you see her frustration? I can. Every mother in here can see that. How many times mother cooked a big meal, and after the meal, everybody be sitting around resting. She's in there washing the pots and pans and saucers and so forth. And she'll say, "I wish somebody would come in here and help me." "Oh, I didn't know you need some help." We've all heard that. Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But don't you know there's one thing is needful? And you don't understand this, Martha, but Mary has chosen it. And what she has chosen is never going to be taken away from her." That's all he said. Now, as I look at that, Mary has exploded. She blows up. She's lost her cool. She vents her frustration. We've all been in that situation one time or another. We understand how, if you really analyze the circumstances, why she'd be that way. She's not a villain here. She's literally frustrated because of what she's trying to do that's good and missing out on the best. By the way, that's the way it'll be. If you're doing something that's good and missing out on the best, and you don't see that, sooner or later you'll be so frustrated that any of those who are doing the best, you won't understand it. You won't agree with it. And you'll begin to find fault with it because you feel, since I'm doing what is good, it ought to be enough. But sometimes it's not. When you're doing what is good and it's not the best, it's not enough. And that's what the Lord is trying to teach us here as he's teaching Martha and them. When the stress of life begins to get the better of us, we strike out against those around us. Martha is upset with Mary. And by the way, she may have been a little bit upset with Jesus, as I see what's said here. And can you imagine? The first thought would be, "Martha, Martha, Mary has chose the good thing, that which will not be taken from her." And she's still got this frustration. She's still got this buildup. Martha did that which is good, but she missed the best thing. Now look at the third point. If the best is what Mary is doing, what is that? Mary chooses the better things, or the best thing. In verse 41 through 42, Jesus takes the time to teach Martha some important truths. "Martha," now I'll try to paraphrase a little bit, "you're trying to put together a feast when really all we need is a little nourishment. There's something more important needed now than all the work in the kitchen. Maybe a little bit of bread, but not a feast." Or he could have been saying, "Martha, you're trying to put together a feast when really that's not the most important thing. You're missing out on the most important thing." And I think that's what he's saying here. "Martha, you're so wrapped up in the details of serving that you're missing the reason that I'm here. Or better still, Martha, you're missing the reason why you're here. You're here to provide, he's here to provide instruction that will lead people to eternal life. He's here to provide spiritual food for those who've been saved through their soul until they get to heaven or till they get home. Martha, do you not understand?" And I can go back and see now we have references and say here we know that in Matthew chapter 6 verse 31, I'll just paraphrase, you go read that when he talks about what we should do. "Do you not worry about things Don't worry about things of food and clothing, for God will take care of those things. And that's exactly what Jesus tells us. He's therefore taking no thought to saying what shall we eat or what shall we drink or whether shall we be clothed. In other words, what's he saying? He's not saying you don't need those things. He said, but they're not the first priority when you know what my priorities are. Why? Because in Matthew 6:33, he tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and these things will be added. In other words, pursue the important things and the other things will fall in place. I guarantee you, God is telling, my priorities will make everything else work. Mary had understood this. How? We don't know. She sits right at the feet of Jesus. At this time, nothing was important to Mary other than to listen to what was being taught by Jesus. When this book is open, ladies and gentlemen, you may not realize this. There's nothing. If this book's been taught by inspiration of God, Spirit, there's nothing important as that at the moment has been taught or preached. But our priorities many times are floating other places. So life is filled with choices. What is this? What are you saying, friend? Life is filled with choices and distractions. Today, the standard of living has been raised so high that many times both parents work full-time jobs. They're running to and fro. They're busy, busy all the time. There are lots of good things that can occupy our attention. But there's some primary things that God has instructed in His Word. They're still written here, been written here 2,000 years, about what we should be doing. Sometimes these things are good and can get in the way of the best things. Being so active, many miss out on real relationships with each other, with their children, with loved ones around them. Having no spiritual growth when it comes to the Christian life because other things are priority where God's Word has been imparted. Many times we cannot find the time to be there because it don't seem that important. We've heard it all. No, we haven't. You have this book. You may hear some rehearsal things that God has to bring others up to. But there's always something He gives us that helps us in this particular life. I heard a science story one time in school. It was an interesting story. This teacher got a big jar. It's a huge jar about this high, about this big, and had a big round mouth at the top. And he took rocks, about big size rocks, different size, and put them in that jar. Of course, you know, when they got it in there, it filled it up to the top. And he held it up to his class. He said, is this jar full? And they said, yes. And he reached under and got some gravel, a bucket of gravel under his table. And he began to pull the gravel in it, and that gravel just began to fill all the cracks and so the rocks didn't. And then he held it up. He said, is this jar full? And he said, it is now. He reached in and got a bucket of sand. And he started pulling that sand in there. And that sand started filling out the rest of the cracks and so forth. And he got through that and held it up. And he said, is this jar full? And the class said, probably not. And he reached in and got a pitcher of water. And he poured water on top of that sand. And that went all through there. And somebody said, well, what is the point here? Well, you know, someone said that it could be that there are gaps in our lives, and if you work it out, you can always put more into it. But that's not the point here. I mean, we cram so much in our lives that it seems that there's no room for other things. But that's not the point at this time. As I looked at that, and I began to say what the point would be for me, the point is, if you had not put those big things, those big rocks in that jar first, you would have not gotten anything else into them. If you'd put the little things, if you took all that other stuff, sand, gravel, and put in there first, you've not got the big things in there. Now, when you see that, how does that help us spiritually? When we plan our lives, we must put the important things in there first. The priorities of God are much bigger than anything else you and I have in our life while we're here. God sets forth that in His Word. If we leave them out of our lives and fill them with the gravel and sand and water, which is metaphors of things in our life, there will be no room for the important things that are spiritual like the rocks represent, which are the big things. When we address the best things, the other things won't be near as stressful. If we address the most important things in life, we find that we have more time for the other things. When you look at the corner of life, and you know which way, don't know which way to turn, the best place to be is at the feet of Jesus. The best place to be is see rooted into God's holy word. The best place is to look at the word of God and see what he has to say, and he'll tell you, seek ye first the kingdom of God. We don't like that. We've rewritten that. We evaluate our own lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He keeps telling us that over and over again. We address this. And here Jesus is telling us, Mary chose the best part. May God Almighty help us cultivate our faith in the Lord. Spending time with those who we love. Running less, talking more. Conversation. May God help us to focus on the best things that He has for us. This is the real life choice. These are the real lifestyle choices. This may mean, hear me folks, this may mean saying no to some things so that you can say yes to better things. Because the better things are the ones on the way out, not only here, but in eternity. Mark it down. Those words will be heard again when you get to heaven. The best things, if you're saved, will be what it is in eternity. So what shall I be doing, Martha? Jesus said, here, thou art careful. Charles, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But have you looked at the one thing that's most needful? Which when you get it, it can never be taken away from you. As a matter of fact, I believe God would be telling us, fill your mind with information that you want to learn. Rather than with the television executives, what they want you to learn, or what the world wants you to learn. Work to have your finances reflect your values. Invest in people rather than stuff. Invest in treasure in heaven rather than treasures on the earth. Work to free your life from some of the things that enslave us, which in turn we fill our jar with everything, but not the most important thing. So what happens? Our jar is full, which represents our life, and the important things have to be set aside. Why? We have no room for it. That's satanic. Because Satan is robbing us blind when our jar gets so full that God has had to be set aside because we can't get nothing else in the schedule of our lives. Work to free your life from some of the things that enslave you. Focus on contentment rather than achievement, though achievement certainly is a worthy goal. Spend some time with God each day. Practice His presence. Practice His presence. You have to do that. Folks, did you practice His presence? Do you get along and really practice what you know is real? I know He's present, but did you practice it? I hope that you do. I hope that you do. I think about this and I see, as I look in John chapter 11, which is a year and a half later when her brother dies in chapter 11. I believe Martha learned a lesson. When Martha's brother died, she seemed to have changed. She's not the attitude she had here. You go and read John chapter 11 and see what happened at the time. If I go and I look over there, I see when she meets Jesus in verse 22, she said, I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give thee. He said, your brother's going to rise again. I know that he's going to rise again the last day. Jesus goes through, I'm the resurrection of life, so forth. And whosoever believeth in me and shall never die. Believest thou this? And Martha comes back then with a humble heart. She's been practicing. She's been understanding some things of priorities. And she said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I think Martha learned from her experience. I believe she took to heart what Jesus said at this time. She greets here in John chapter 11, Jesus, and listens to him. She expresses her faith, even in a very trying time. Now, it's not just cooking in the kitchen. She has lost a brother who has died that they love very much. And she knew that Jesus loved him very much, too. And I think Martha learned from her experience. I pray that God help me learn to experience that I'd fill my life with the important things first. And these other things would just come as they come. But if I fill it with the other things and fill my life up with that and have no time for Him, we will lose out in the end. We will lose out in the end. And so we should learn from this experience. And I have learned much myself. And I hope you will. It is obvious that our Lord wants us to have a balanced life. It's obvious of that. He wants to be merry in worship and obedience. And He wants to be like Martha in service. But you can't serve until you worship and don't know what to do. You have to worship and learn to know what to do. To serve without that knowledge spiritually is to do it in vain. And in turn think there's some good things. Someone said, well, I'm not doing so bad. No, but it may be good things, but not the priority of things. We're to be Mary in worship and Martha in service. And what we do with Christ is just as important as what we do for Him. And you won't know what to do with Christ unless you spend some time letting Him tell us what we need to be doing. And that's what this book is about, you see. John 15:5, Jesus said, for without me you can do nothing. That's the reason you need to be where Mary's at before you begin to do what service is concerned. You need to be humble and faithful before Him, learning and then practicing what we learn for His glory. And I pray, God, help us never get so busy that we're not blessed by what God is teaching us to do. Do you understand what I'm saying, folks? Help us never get so busy that we can't be blessed by doing what God has directed us to do. And on this Mother's Day, what better lesson could we learn than from a lady who had first-hand experience? God He peels away everything, lets us see her. See her heart, see what she's trying to do. And no doubt shows us this is not an evil woman, this is a good woman. But even our goodness, we can get distracted. And when we get distracted, we can get disturbed. And when we're disturbed, we will say and do things we would not say otherwise. And Jesus has to come and say, go there and put your name in Martha's place. That's what I did. Put your name there. Look at what she's doing. Look in your life. Evaluate some things. Whereas there was a priority, but it became more selfish than godly. And if Christ was here standing, and I'd see someone, it's like someone said, all those people go to church all the time. That same principle that Martha's saying about Mary being at Jesus' feet. God help us to never get so busy that we're not blessed by what God is teaching us to do. Put your name there. And if He was speaking to you, would He say, blank, blank, thou art careful and trouble about many things. But listen to me, one thing is needful. And Mary has chosen that good thing. Look at what she's doing. Look it through eyes of faith. If you look it through the eyes of the flesh, it looks like she's wasting her time. Look at what she's doing. He says, and that which she is getting will never be taken from her. That's pretty important, isn't it? Are you saved this morning? If you're not saved, God has done for you that no one else can do. He loves you so much, He died for you. Would you listen to Him? And since He's not here, I can only quote His word, John 14:6. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man come to the Father but by me. It's so important. This is so important. You're a preacher, I'm saved. You ought to be praying. There's anybody sitting in this church beside you or across from you or down the aisle from you. If they're not saved, this would be the day they trust Christ. We who are saved ought to be concerned about others. I pray this morning, if you're not saved, you trust the Lord. And we who are saved, I pray you go, look at what Jesus said, look at Mary, look at yourself, and if you see yourself like Martha, would you put your name there and say, Lord, help me understand what you're telling Martha. And let me adjust from the good things to the better things, the best things. Father in heaven, I want to thank you this morning for your precious word, Lord. I thank you for the study. It's been weeks in this. It amazes me in studying John and over the weeks how this has developed. It amazes me how you let us get close to families in the Word of God. Not for the purpose of just reading a beautiful story and say, boy, isn't that great. But to see how it affects me as an individual. Can I learn? Where am I at? Am I like Mary? Am I like Martha? Mary didn't have to make any adjustments. Jesus said she had chosen the best thing. And I'm glad you put it this way, Lord, because it's not talking about the guy on Skid Row. Not talking about the person living in adultery. Not talking about the alcoholic. Not talking about the dope head. He's not talking about those, dear Father, who are in the world, atheistic thinking. He's talking about in his family who are doing good things and yet filling their lives with gravel and sand and water. And so taken up that the important things, the larger things about the kingdom of God can't fit in. Lord, there's not one of us that can't see that if we'd let you show us. Make this meaningful to us today. Open our hearts as we open our ears that we might be a vessel different than before we understood this story. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.